Damodar Bharata Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Uttirayat. For reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who is the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayeshu padreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatittama shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of God, at whose worship of transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 10. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions, and today's text is 22. Bodhyamanasya Rishibhir Atmanas Taj Jigrik Shataha Karnao Cha Nirabhidyetam Dishaha Shrotram Guna Grahaha Bodhyamanasya Rishibhir Atmanasta Jigrik Shataha Karnao Cha Nirabhidyetam Dishakshotranguna-graha Bodhyamanasya Rishibhir Atmanastajigrikshataha Karnaucha nirabhijetam Dishakshotranguna-graha Bodhyamanasya Rishibhir Atmanastajigrikshataha Karnaucha nirabhijeta Dishakshotranguna graha. Please chant. Vaishnavis. Okay, synonyms, bodhyamanasya, desiring to understand. Rishibhi, by the authorities. Atmanaha, of the Supreme Being. Tat, that. Jigrikshataha, when he desired to take up. Karanau, the ears. Sha, also. Nirabhijetam became manifested. Dishaha, to direction or the god of air. Shrotram, the power of hearing. Gunagraha, and the objects of hearing. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. By development of the desire of the great sages to know, the ears, the power of hearing, the controlling deity of hearing, and the objects of hearing became manifested. The great sages desired to hear about the self. And that is self with a capital S, which indicates the Supreme Person. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, by advancement of knowledge, one should try to know about the Supreme Lord, the summum bonum of everything. Knowledge does not mean knowledge only of the laws of nature or physical knowledge, which are working by the direction of the Lord. The scientists are eager to hear about the physical laws working in material nature. They are eager to hear, through the medium of radio and television, about things taking place far away from them on other planets. But they should know that the power of hearing and the instruments for hearing were given to them by the Lord, for hearing about the self or about the Lord. Unfortunately, the power of hearing is misused in hearing the vibrations of mundane affairs. The great sages were interested in hearing about the Lord through Vedic knowledge and nothing more. That is the beginning of oral reception of knowledge. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschachadishtarane Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ulmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeyaham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Bhutangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sandhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So there's a common saying we've all heard, you are what you eat. People who eat tend to eat a lot of pig flesh, they start looking very piggy, isn't it? It's my experience anyway. And in general, yes, you are what you eat. But even higher than that, or more prominent than that, is that you are what you hear. You become what you hear. And you hear from those you associate with, generally speaking. And that association can be direct, like we're more or less directly associating with each other here, or indirect, through books. You know, I was born in 52, so in that time there was no internet. We got television maybe in 56 or 57. And even when it came, we would watch the news and maybe one or two other things. But most of the time we spent reading, at least I did. I loved to read because that's how you gain knowledge in those days. You went to the library and you researched something, or My father was always keen on having the latest set of encyclopedias in the house, so I read a lot. And through that reading, you associate with whomever is giving you that knowledge. Especially, we know in our case, our books that we're reading, Srila Prabhupada's books, is recorded speech. Prabhupada dictated his books, and then they were transcribed, and then eventually printed, and given to the world in printed form. So it's recorded speech. You're actually hearing from somebody. You're associating with them through hearing what they have to say. Nowadays, that extends to the internet, and it can be uplifting or it can be degrading. It can incite you to do crazy things. Well, people in general are crazy anyway. It doesn't take much to incite them, like the current situation in Bangladesh, what happened. Supposedly this whole outburst of attacks against minority religions was sparked by something somebody wrote on the internet. Apparently somebody wrote that in some Hindu function or something, somebody put a copy of the Quran on Hanuman's foot, and they took that as an insult, and therefore they attacked. Now, this is actually barbaric, because even if you think somebody's insulted you, your God or your spiritual path, you find that person and you correct them somehow. Why attack everybody? Not very intelligent, because members of this particular religion, they represent a minority in many countries around the world. What if somebody says, you know, a member of that religious path took a Bible and put it on the ground or something like that? Does that mean that everybody of that religious path should be attacked? I mean, it's obviously not smart, not intelligent, not human. It's not human. A human being would think, okay, let's find a perpetrator and correct them. Not that you attack everybody of a particular race or religion or whatever because you think that one person of that, you know, it's just uncivilized. Uncivilized. And the way uncivilized people become civilized is by hearing from the proper source. When one hears from the proper source, bhakti shastras, presented by those who are practicing. In other words, not just we tell you, you should think like this and do like this, but we do something else. No. Achar and prachar. Before you preach, you have to act in the same way. And this is why Prabhupada was so potent. Whatever he told us to do, he did himself. Whatever he told us not to do, he didn't do. So that kind of presentation, that kind of preaching carries weight. And one can see, yes. Just like, well, I mean, I've said this before, but Jayadeva Maharaj told me he was going through the airport, JFK, once in New York. And somewhere or other, he had an interaction with some woman at a desk. And she said, "You're a Hare Krishna, huh?" And he said, "Yeah." And she said, "I really like you people. You really are what you pretend to be." That was her statement. That came out that way. So we shouldn't pretend. We should be what we're presenting to the public. So if we're telling people that chanting Hare Krishna will elevate your consciousness, then we have to chant Hare Krishna. You can't be a Hare Krishna and not chant Hare Krishna. So if we're telling people that following these principles will elevate your consciousness, then we have to follow the principles. Not one, not two, not three, but all four. Otherwise, again, it creates confusion. Famous case in Florida. I was there when it happened. I was living in Alachua at the time. Some young lady called the Alachua temple to complain about the behavior of some devotee she had met. That he had promised to marry her, but after getting what he wanted, he didn't. He ran away. Because he conveniently only told her about three principles, not four. So again, we have to be what we pretend to be. We have to present the same face to the public that we present inside the temple. Chant Hare Krishna, follow these principles, hear from the Bhakti Shastras. And the result of hearing from the Bhakti Shastras is that one becomes purified. One becomes satisfied, as is stated in the fourth chapter. That there's nothing as sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. It's the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who practices this path becomes completely satisfied, enjoys this transcendental knowledge within himself in due course of time. So if we just continue to hear from the Bhakti Shastras, we become satisfied, we become purified, we become peaceful, we become tolerant. And we have to do this. We have to show this to the public because that's exactly what they need. Not people who incite them directly and remotely to attack others. That's not required. If somebody has done wrong, one person, then that person should be found and punished, not that everybody should be killed. And we see it takes a lot to incite a devotee of the Lord to engage in violent acts, just like Arjuna. The whole Bhagavad Gita, 700 shlokas it took to incite Arjuna to fight the battle. Because naturally, Prabhupada said repeatedly, as a devotee, he has a soft heart. Not just because he's a Kshatriya and powerful that he wants to go out and chop everybody's head off. No. Reserved. Krishna says himself that the strength of the strong should be used to protect the weak, not just to display your power. So it takes a lot to incite a devotee to violence, because the devotee is naturally tolerant, naturally peaceful, naturally sees all living entities equally. This is devotee. Not that, you know, somebody whispers in your ear that, you know, so-and-so said something bad against you. What? They said something bad about me? Where is that rascal? Let me find him and choke him. No, that's not devotional attitude. That's not devotional attitude. As Maharaj likes to say many times, if somebody says something bad against me, I said, how did you know? How did you find out? Thank you for correcting me. Thank you. Thank you. That's the devotee attitude. That's the devotee attitude. Not to immediately get upset. There was one case in Canada, I think it was Montreal, where Prabhupada was giving darshan in the evening. And when some Indian man came, and a man was angry and fighting with Prabhupada, and the devotees just couldn't wait to get, they really wanted to grab him and throw him out. But Prabhupada was, you know, like that. And after the guy left, finally left, Prabhupada asked, did anybody get his contact information? And the devotee said, what? No, Prabhupada, we don't want to be in touch with this guy. Prabhupada, he was insulting you, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, maybe in a previous life I insulted him. See? That's the devotee mood. Not that, how dare he? I am Namacharya, I am, you know, Jagat Guru, No. Prabhupada said, maybe in a previous life I offended him. That's the mood devotees take. Not so eager to hand out retribution. So, our situation here, we're hearing about the universal form and how the different senses become manifest. One interesting thing about today's shloka is that in the previous shlokas up to now, it mentioned that Krishna wanted to see, or the universal form, in his universal form he wanted to see, and therefore the power of seeing and objects of vision came into being. Virat Purusha wanted to taste, and therefore tongue and palate and the sense of taste and objects of taste came into being. But in today's verse it said, because the sages wanted to hear, the power of hearing came into being. So that seems a little incongruous. Previous verses, it mentioned that first the Virat Purusha wanted to do something and then the sense became manifest. But in today's verse, it says, because the sages wanted to hear, the power of hearing and the object of hearing, which is the Self, capital S, Supreme Self, came into being. So interesting. I didn't have time last night to research what the Acharyas had to say about this. It's a little bit, like I said, incongruous. But interestingly, though, in the synonyms, that's why this translation is a little bit different. Let me go back to the synonyms. It said, Jigrikshataha, when he, capital H, desired to take up. So, I don't know, maybe the editors didn't catch something here, or I'm not sure. But again, it seems incongruous that in all the other verses, it was first that Virat Purusha wanted to do something, and then it became manifest. But in today's, it says, by development of the desire of the great sages to know, the ear is the power of hearing. But again, in the synonyms, Jigrikshataha is translated as when he, capital H, desired to take up. In any case, the power of hearing came into being, and our line is actually an oral one. Things were taught by the guru speaking, and the disciples or followers hearing and remembering. But understanding that in Kali Yuga the power of memory would decline, Vyasadeva divided the Vedas and gave them to different sages for codifying, putting down in writing so that it could be easily transmitted. Because this power of hearing once and remembering for life is practically gone. Some people have very good memories, but not perfect. And even if they remember something, because they're not properly trained in transcendental knowledge, they misinterpret what they remember. Like many people, they can cite the entire Bhagavad Gita. I've given this example many years ago at a Ratayatra in Laguna Beach, one guy, I was doing the book table, and one Indian gentleman, middle-aged, came up to me and said, I know the entire Bhagavad Gita. So I knew a few Gita verses, so I started testing him. This verse, that verse. And he actually knew from heart. Sanskrit and translation. So I was very impressed. But Mahavishnu Swami, the elder Mahavishnu Swami who passed away, Indian body, disciple of Shivaram Swami, he was there. Just happened to be in America at the time. So I pointed out this guy to Maharaj. I said, this guy knows the entire Gita. And Maharaj looked him up and down. He said, where's the bead bag? I don't see any bead bag. What's the use of knowing the entire Gita if you don't chant Hare Krishna? Because the goal of the Gita is to surrender to Krishna, to remember Krishna, to chant Krishna's name. And so, yeah, there are many people still to this day, many Mayavadis who know the Gita better than most of us do. But what is the use of that knowledge if they ultimately don't think that Krishna even exists? When Krishna says, surrender to me, they say, no, it's not to Krishna. It's to the supreme unborn within Krishna. Prabhupada said, what nonsense. There is no difference between Krishna's inside and outside. There's no question of some supreme unborn within Krishna. So, but this is their conclusion. They present Bhagavad Gita using Krishna's words, but minus Krishna. Krishna is not God. Yeah, he says that, but he's actually representing something, you know, like complete nonsense. But we're very fortunate to have come in contact with someone who's presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is. Whatever Krishna says, we accept in toto. Krishna says, Ahang Sarvasu Prabhang, Matak Sarvam Prabhajate. We take it literally. Krishna is the supreme source of everything, material and spiritual. When Krishna says, think of me, he means me, Krishna, not some other manifestation or entity. So, with that in mind, during this Kartik month, if we really think about Krishna in this form, Prabhupada stated clearly in one letter, because one Mataji, I forget who it was, wrote to him to ask about this particular baby form of Krishna. And Prabhupada said, this form does not exist in the spiritual world. Krishna in the spiritual world is always a youth, somewhere looking like 16 to 20 years old. That is the eternal form that's there in Goloka. But when he comes into the material world and he establishes the Boma Vrindavan, Gokula, he shows this particular form. And so we're really meant to understand our good fortune and meditate, especially in this month, on this particular form. This Satchidananda Rupam, Namamishram Satchidananda Rupam. Lasat Kundalam Gokule Bhajamanam. Yashoda Biyokula. He's reciprocating with Mother Yashoda in this baby form. And we should meditate on that. We should really think of it. What's that verse again? Shrutimapare Shrutimitare Bhartamanya Bhavantu Maja Bita Aham Ihanandam Mandi Yasya Linde Paramparama. One great sage wrote this nice shloka that Shrutimitare Shrutimapare Smritimitare, Bharatamanye. Some people worship the Shrutis, some people worship the Smritis, some worship the Mahabharat. Why? Because they're afraid of repeated birth and death, which everyone should be. We should take that. But he says, as far as I'm concerned, Aham Ihanandam Bande. I am worshiping Nanda Maharaj. Why? Yasya Linde Param Brahma. In his courtyard, the Supreme Person is running around like a child. So that's our meditation this month. We were worshiping the Supreme Lord, Krishna, but in this particular form, which is so sweet. So many sweet activities that he performs in this particular form. Reciprocating with Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj wants his slippers, and with great difficulty he puts the slippers on his head and brings them to his father, acting just like an ordinary child. But at the same time, at the age of just a few months, killing the demoness Putana, just by sucking on her breast and sucking out her life air. Killing the Trinavarta demon. So these things are also happening in that childhood form. Shakatasur, pulling down the twin Arjun trees. So all of these things we should meditate on, particularly again in this month of Kartik. Because this form of Krishna is particularly sweet, particularly attractive. Yes, the form that the gopis are attracted to is form of youth, That's also supremely attractive. But this form, the baby form. But some people, again, are mistaken. They say, and Prabhupada mentioned this, he said, sometimes in India they say, we worship this Bal Krishna form, but we're not into Gopi Krishna, that's immoral, or Arjun Krishna, that's ghastly. Prabhupada said, they're so foolish. It's the same Krishna. It's not that there's a different Krishna that's Bal Krishna, a different Krishna that's Gopi Krishna, a different Krishna that's with Arjuna. It's the same Krishna. And those who are pure devotees, they worship Krishna in all of his forms, not just Bal Krishna that we're concentrating on this month, but Gopi Krishna and Arjuna Krishna especially. If you don't understand Krishna's interaction with Arjuna, his teaching to Arjuna in the form of Bhagavad Gita, then there's no way you're going to appreciate Gopi Krishna or Bal Krishna. So you have to accept the Lord in all of his forms. And even in this Virat Purusha, you have to understand the connection between the Virat Purusha and Krishna. You have to, and Krishna is an original form. You have to understand how he is personally manifesting all these senses that they can be engaged in his service, like it's stated here. The sages desire to know, and the sense of hearing came into being, and they use it for understanding the self with a capital S. Because nowadays a lot of people are into themselves with a lower S. I'm into myself. Self-worship. I really have to remind myself to love myself. And meanwhile, they're doing all kinds of abominable things. That's why naturally, you're not so attracted to yourself. And you have to push yourself to like yourself. Because you're not actually likable in this particular form. When you become advanced in spiritual knowledge, when you become advanced in yoga practice, then by that connection, because that's what yoga means, when you connect the lowercase S self with the supreme self and capital S, then you become like Prabhupada. Prabhupada is naturally attractive. He didn't have to come up with some idea of how to make himself attractive. He was just naturally attractive because he was a pure devotee of Krishna. So the pure devotees of Krishna are naturally attractive. They naturally appeal to those who are a little bit aware and advanced. Of course, foolish people, what do they know? They attack anyone and everyone. But anybody who's a little bit conscious would meet somebody like Srila Prabhupada. See the deities. I was in San Diego temple. This was like 94, I think. And one young man, nice boy, had just joined, or wanted to join, actually. He was just coming. He had found a Bhagavad Gita in a used bookstore and started reading it. He was only 15. And so he asked his father to bring him to the Sunday feast because he contacted the temple and found out there was Sunday. So I was actually there the very first time he came. Father dropped him off. And he stayed for the Sunday feast program, and then the father came back to pick him up. And he just became more and more attracted and eventually joined and became initiated. The parents had separated. So it was after he joined and became a devotee that his mother finally came to the temple. And she was not in a good mood. He told me later on. I didn't know what her mood was. But he told me later on that she was really upset that he became a member of this Hare Krishna cult. And so she came there determined to be mad at the devotees. But she walked through the door. She saw the deities in San Diego. Who knows the name of the deities in San Diego? No, San Diego. Radha Giridhari. Yeah, Radha Giridhari. Beautiful deities. She came through the door. She saw the altar. And just spontaneously blurted out, "They're so beautiful." All the anger went away. So this is what Vaishnavism is meant to offer the public by seeing the deities, even for the first time, by associating with devotees, by reading the Bhakti Shastras, by tasting Krishna Prasadam, hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, their hearts naturally will be changed. Not because of our potency, who are we? But because Krishna is the supreme pure. And any contaminated person that comes in contact with Krishna becomes purified. That is the secret of bhakti yoga. All we need to do is introduce them. Like last night, we were on the promenade with our protests, Harinam. We had signs, protest the Bangladeshi attacks on freedom of religion. So we're going along, and one guy came running out of a store, and he was so enthusiastic. Yeah, yeah, freedom of religion. Just by hearing the Hare Krishna mantra, not because the sign or The mantra immediately enters. So we should never be upset. We go out chanting and it seems that people are not interested. That mantra enters in. That's Krishna. It's non-different. The Hare Krishna mantra is non-different from the Lord. And just by planting that seed of the mantra in the ears of the public, it will take fruit. For some, it won't be in this lifetime. It could be the next lifetime or even 10 lifetimes. Who knows? But that seed has been planted. And that is what the Krishna consciousness movement is meant to do, to transform this Kali Yuga into a golden age, at least for some time, through the power of this Hare Krishna mantra, primarily. So we have to be into it ourselves, chanting japa, chanting kirtan. On Thursday, I went to Loyola High School, which is just not too far away, down Venice Boulevard, near Normandy, at the invitation of the class teacher. He teaches world religions, Prior Billy Beagler, very nice person. So myself and Shyamakunda and Rukmini Rajani, we went. And I had not known this prior, but his connection was that when he was an novitiate, learning to be a Jesuit monk, he came here with his teacher, Professor Francis Clooney. So yeah, whenever Professor Clooney is in town, because there's here in Culver City, they have a campus where they train the novitiate monks. And he usually, whenever he comes, he brings a class here, and they say, Bhrigupati, you participated. We usually make a special breakfast for them, and they come for the program, they listen to the class. Very nice. Francis Clooney is a very, very strong supporter. He's actually a professor of religion at Harvard. So this Friar Beagler, he was one of the students. He came here many years ago. And now he's a full-on friar, Jesuit monk, and he teaches world religions. So very, very, very favorable. And the boys in the class, it's an all-boys school, probably one of the last all-boys high schools left in Los Angeles. And they were so bright and asked such good questions. Wonderful. The very, very first question, the very first boy who asked the question, his question was, because Rukmini Rajani had presented something about karma. And he said, you said that animals don't have any karma, right? Yeah. And you said if human beings don't act properly, they can fall into the animal realm. Yeah. So then how do they, if they don't get any karma, how do they make any progress? Very good question. If a human being, the soul, falls into the animal kingdom, how do they make any progress if they don't get any karma for their actions? So I explained to him, it's a fixed progression. This is the real evolution. It's an evolution of consciousness. And the example I like to use for children, especially younger students, because they can get it. I said, why do birds catch worms? Worms are conscious. If you touch them, they react. So how is it that birds catch them? Because the bird is more conscious. You see, a bird has higher consciousness, and therefore they can catch the worm. And we know birds are very, very conscious. Extremely difficult even for humans to catch them. But cats catch birds. Every year around the world, they estimate about 1 billion songbirds are killed by domesticated cats. How is that possible? Birds are very, very conscious. They're always looking around. And if you approach them just a little bit, boom, they're gone. But cats are more conscious. So they figure out how to ambush them. So it's an evolution of consciousness. We can see it practically in our lives, that beings that are more conscious than others can take advantage of them. But when you get to the human platform, you're not meant to use your developed consciousness to take advantage of other living entities. You're meant to use that developed consciousness to help them progress. Even the animals can make spiritual progress if you give them prasadam, if they hear the chanting. This is what human beings are meant to do. But unfortunately, as we all know, human beings, instead of using their developed intelligence to make progress themselves and help others, even the animals make progress, they exploit the animals and exploit each other in horrible ways that we can't even mention in the Bhagavatam class. So we are meant to show the example of non-exploitation, that we have understood what is the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have understood that all of these senses that the Virat Purusha is making manifest are meant to be used in his service, the power of seeing, like that woman the first time she saw the deities, immediately affected. So the power of seeing is meant to see the deities, to be able to read these shastras. The power of hearing is for hearing the Hare Krishna mantra and other mantras. But human beings are so unfortunate. And that's why they're so dangerous, because Prabhupada used to recite this verse from Niti Shastra, Chanaka Pandit. Sarpa Krura Kala Krura Manchoshadi Vasat Sarpa Kala Krura Nibeshati. That there are two envious types of beings in the world. The Sarpa, the snake, and the Kala, which means an envious human being. Sarpa Kura Kala Krura. But Sarpa Krura Tarakala, the Kala, the envious human being, is more dangerous than the snake. Why? Manchoshadi. By mantra and herbs, you can control a snake. But an envious human being, how can you control him? If somebody's determined to be envious, there's nothing you can do. You can go on giving good instruction and hope that it will stick. But if somebody's determined to be envious of others, and these attacks like happen in Bangladesh, it's fueled by envy. It's not some religious thing, as people say. Because a real religious person immediately understands if God is the father of all living entities, then we're all related. Why should I have an envious attitude towards anyone? This is the basics of religion. Any religion teaches God is the father, which means he's the father of everyone, not just the white or the black, or not just people who practice this religion or that religion. Father of everyone. So how can you approach anybody with an envious attitude? So they're just, it's not about religion, unfortunately. And they give religion or spirituality a bad name by their actions. And Prabhupada stated this. Nowadays, religion is used as a political club, as a social club, as an economic basis. They don't go to the church or mosque or temple for the right reason. Not to, like the sages, want to know about the Supreme Self. That's not why they go. They go to the mosque or temple or to do some business. Hey, you're in business, I'm in business, let's help each other. They go there to meet a member of the opposite sex or same sex or whatever. Nowadays, everybody confused. They go there to promote their political agenda. We all belong to this religion, so we should support this political candidate because they will give us the right, you know. That's why people go to these places of worship. Not for hearing the truth about the Supreme Self. And therefore, they don't understand anything about the small self. And therefore, they attack each other. So we're again meant to go out in the public and deliver this knowledge, these bhakti shastras, by which people can become pacified. If somebody reads Bhagavad Gita, hears it from the right source, Srila Prabhupada, if they taste prasadam, if they hear the Hare Krishna, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, naturally, we see. Naturally, they're coming down the street and they just start dancing. Just by hearing the mridanga and the kartals and the chanting of Hare Krishna. Naturally, because it's this immediate awakening of the soul. Unfortunately, then they go around the corner and they go to a bar or whatever. So it doesn't stick right away. But it's a natural awakening. Anybody who hears, even the most envious person, if they hear repeatedly the Hare Krishna mantra, their envy slowly, slowly dissipates. All right, we can stop here if there's any questions, comments. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. I never heard this statement. This is the first time I heard. That you said, Srila Prabhupada mentions that this Bala Krishna is not in the spiritual world, it's only in Boma Vrindavan. Yeah. So I tried to understand this. We heard that everything existing here is a replica in this, from Goloka Vrindavan. And we know that Mother Yasoda is there, Nanda Maharaj is there. And even Putana, she got liberation to go there as a nurse to assist. You know, Mother Yasoda means she's not going to have a service there. So can you explain a little bit more? See if you can.
Yes, because the maternal instinct doesn't stop with the when the child grows up. The maternal instinct, the Vatsalya Ras, is there even when the child is grown. So Krishna in Goloka is in his youth form, eternal youth form. But Mother Yasoda still thinks of him as her son. We see after Krishna and Balaram finally went to Devaki. They were already grown, but because she had maternal instinct, the milk started flowing from her breast. See, they were already youth. There's no question of breastfeeding. But because she has this maternal instinct towards them, milk started flowing from her breast. So that maternal instinct, that paternal instinct is there in the spiritual world, but it is aimed, directed towards Krishna in his youthful form. Not the bald form. Krishna, Prabhupada specifically wrote that. You can look in the letters if you, or you can search on the database. One Mataji wrote to ask Srila Prabhupada, is this baby form of Krishna there in the spiritual world? And Prabhupada said, no. Just the eternal youthful form, 16 to 20 years old. That's there. Brajapati had a question, and then Mataji.
I just
have a
comment, you know, because you are giving all the experiences about you know, all these different devotees. So I wanted to give an experience that, you know, when we even get our members, the only thing I see they do is they come and take the darshan of the deities, you know. And when we bring them in and they take darshan of the deities, they are so much pleased that the devotees are taking care so well of the deities. In fact, the main attraction when I bring members to come is when they see the deities, they just feel they're in another world. And then they feel so obligated that I don't even have to ask too much. They say, hey, you're taking care of the deities so well, we want to be part of this.
Yes.
So it's all about the deities. Yes. It's all about the deities.
And kirtan. Prabhupada said that. If you maintain the temple very nicely, very cleanly, if you dress the deities very gorgeously, and if you have kirtan, that's what the temple is for, having kirtan. Actually, there should be 24-hour kirtan in every temple, not just Vrindavan. But Prabhupada said those things. Maintain the temple nicely, worship the deities gorgeously, have kirtan, and of course prasadam. If you do those things, that's it. You don't have to do too much preaching. People will be attracted, and they will naturally, because of that attraction, you know, help to support the temple community. Yes, Mataji. Yeah, unfortunately, I think the batteries are dead. The red light is on, so you may have to just speak up a little bit. Hare Krishna, those are very genuine concerns. And this is what Varnashrama is meant to do. Prabhupada said that was part of the formula of what we're presenting. Yes, we're doing the chanting and dancing and all that, but part of that is also establishing Varnashram. And Varnashram means student life first, brahmachari life. So you can't, it's not about, you know, we're overemphasizing brahmachari. You have to start there. If you don't have good brahmacharis, you will not have good grihasthas. Because a person who is not trained, brahmachari mentality means that in every circumstance, under all, in all places, all times, this is Yajnavalkya. This is a verse, it's actually there in the Gita, that Prabhupada quotes in the sixth chapter. That Maitana Tyaga, don't have anything to do with sex life in all circumstances, all places, under all. If you can do that and you dedicate your mind, your body, your words to the service of the Lord, then you're a brahmachari. So everybody needs to be trained like that. And one who's completed that training nicely becomes a good grihastha. Otherwise, if you don't have that basis of a good brahmachari life, brahmacharini life, then when they get married, it doesn't work. Because at the slightest agitation, they run away. But a brahmachari is trained that in all circumstances, I will follow the order of my guru, I will engage in service to please the Lord under the direction of my guru. That is brahmachari life. And if you have that kind of determination, brahmachari life produces determined individuals. If they don't go through that training, then yeah, you get them married and they take it lightly, just like they take everything else lightly. Today I'm married, but now I remember this other girl or guy that I really like more, so I divorce you and I marry somebody else, and you know, people get involved in all kinds of nonsense. So the strong foundation has to be there, and then the next level up, grihastha, will also be strong. The problem is, when Prabhupada came, he took people like myself off the street who were already spoiled. There was no question of real brahmacharya at that point. I joined at age 21. I'm 69 on Sunday. So the majority of my life was spent in... But the formative years are actually more important. If you come to Krishna consciousness at age 21 and you're already spoiled rotten, it may take lifetimes to get rid of that contamination. So we still have to stress the brahmachari and brahmacharini aspect, because if that ashram is not strong, you will not have strong grihasthas. Prabhupada saw that and he said, what is this nonsense? You just got married and now you want to marry somebody else, and stop it. Marriage means one wife, one husband for life. That's what it means. That's what it means. So that training has to be there. And yes, we are planting seeds, and just like the Rakshasas are taking advantage of people's sinful mentality to take birth in the world, if we plant seeds properly, then those souls that are maybe don't come in this lifetime, they will come in the next lifetime. It's a lifetime after lifetime project. As far as the current situation, we tend to see our local situation and concentrate on that, which we should, but we should also see the bigger picture. And that's why devotees are encouraged, especially, you know, to travel around the ISKCON world. You go to Africa, you go to India, you go to Europe, you'll see that there are places where this is already going on. I travel, for instance, in former Yugoslavia, and they have nice farm communities, grihasthas living together in a particular area. Everybody has their own household or their own cow, but it's a big devotee community. It's not that the vision that we had in America where you have one big farm and you send city devotees to go there and do service and they run away at the slightest, you know, hint of hard work because they're not used to it. I always say, if you want to have farmers, preach to farmers. Make farmers into devotees. They already know what to do, how to grow produce, how to take care of cows. Turn them into devotees. But if you take city slickers like myself and put them on a farm, Gitanagari or whatever, they're not going to stay very long. They have that city vibe in their bodies and they want to run back to it. So we want to, one second, so if you travel around this, can you see it's working in certain places? In Croatia, for instance, there are communities where devotees, because of that war they had, that civil war, their properties became very cheap. So devotees bought up properties together in certain communities. And they live together, and they have cows, and so it's a gradual thing. It's taking place gradually, and not only in Croatia, all around the world, we're seeing that there are viable communities that are springing up. But in America, we tend to look at the failures again. Big farms like Gitanagari and, you know, New Vrindavan, how they used to be so productive at one point, and now they're not. And yes, their ups and downs are there. But if we continue with the program that Prabhupada gave us, it's very simple: book distribution, prasadam distribution, harinam, maintaining the temples nicely. It will have its effect. It will have its effect. And it goes up and down because we're in the material world. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. America was strong, and from America it spread all around the world. And then America declined in terms of numbers of devotees joining and stuff like that. But it's a fluid situation. It's not static. It keeps changing. So America will rise again because due to strong soldiers like your husband and Brigapati who keep going out there, those bombs that they're taking out every day in the form of Prabhupada's books, they will explode. So many people, you ask them, why are you becoming a devotee? Well, I found on my mother's bookshelf a Hare Krishna book, and I read it, and it made a lot of sense to me, so I started chanting, or I started going to the temple. So we should be patient. It's not a 30-year or 50-year or 100-year project here. This is a lifetime after lifetime project. And gradually, those souls that are being affected in this life will come back on a higher level next life, and a higher level in life after that if they don't get out right away. So we should be a little patient. But yes, we have to also, as leaders, those who are in leadership position, have a long-term vision of how we can make strong communities, how to help the brahmacharis and brahmacharinis become strong grihasthas. And so all those points are well taken. We've gone way over, so I'm sorry about that. But I think this morning we have a special breakfast in honor of Sashi Sanoi's mother who departed. So we can certainly continue the conversation there. Granta Rashimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai.